We're all in the room. Please start off by welcoming you all to this most statement of our Q&S, and also remind us to like the lighting system and the speaker speaking. If you're going to speak, please go to the microphone as to even our body recorders. Have we any apologies? Any decorations of interest? And we can move on then to item 3, and item 3 is our action sheet, and we can go through the action first. We have case 1, case 2, case 3, case 4, case 5, case 6.
Sure, it's an issue regarding mismanagement, and it's actually something I've received, presentations I've received from a caravan park owner, and it's about proposed changes to wind collection pipes. The concerns are that there's a potential significant increase in these charges. There have been wind officials just in the last couple of hours, but mainly that they're in official capacity of wind tonight. One example, for instance, is that caravan park owner last year, the cost of his collection service was £2,170, but under suggested prices that have been agreed and cancelled, that could increase the potential in excess of £37,000 a year. And that's a dramatic increase by any measure. And obviously, you know, with the council that promotes tourism and sea tourism is a key aspect as part of this development strategy, I'm not sure how that would tie in to encouraging anybody, you know, to retain such a business for them for that type of significant increase in costs. I suppose what I'm trying to find out at this stage is what are the things. I know that there has probably been a meeting, that's been with Liam about, you know, there has been a meeting with some representatives on it, but trying to find out how, you know, is this actually going to happen, or is this a suggestion of where we are at this stage with this proposal and what discussions that we have taken place with Caravan and Holiday Park owners on the matter.
The council is here. Yes, there has been a meeting with the caravan operators. Yes, it's work in progress at the moment. I only have met with one group from the near area. I still have to meet with a group from the Lake of the Down area. We now have to charge not just for connection but also disposal. So that's the, you know, been informed to the operators. I hope that when I have expressed a very definite need to minimize any increases to council, and I hope council is a supporting project, and we'll come back to council in due course.
Yes, that's a really important one.
Thank you very much. Any other matters raised from the action sheet? Happy to know, folks. Okay. If you can then go on to item 4. This is our neighbourhood citizens business plan, 2018 and 2018. And I think that we just pass over the role presenting that. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Members will see the detail of the business plan for neighbourhood services. Also incorporates a review of 2017 for the role of RTS department. So we welcome any members' comments in relation to what is presented at the moment.
Are members happy to accept the business plan? Or has anyone any queries? That's all. We can move on then to item 5, which is our neighborhood services transformation project. And you want to take the left row to be with us as well, please.
Again, thanks, Chair. this is a for members to consider how we plan to tackle the transformation that is required for the neighbourhood services department. The committee previously agreed to January the neighbourhood services proposal, but that was a very high level vision for the new directorate. Initial meetings with officers within the directorate have identified that there's a lot of detail that we need to work out. And we're seeking approval as we continue to work that detail, undertake the research, look at benchmarking ourselves against councils within Northern Ireland and the UK, try and identify examples of best practice, and bring that back to elected members, and let you help shape the vision of what the new service should look like, we're planning to hold a workshop in the next couple of months, June, we said before, then in June we'll do that. And we'll also, we've set out the proposal and the framework within the appendix of how we think we can tackle this, and what we see the members are putting on that basis.
Yes,
I'd like to propose that. As you go step through, is it possible that we look at having maybe people come to say workshops or whatever, and those that are experienced doing the work on the ground to actually explain and explore with them how it's working for them in different price areas, and to lead the way to give us a better picture, because quite often if we're having a higher level director coming in and having that conversation, it's all big words, strategic, whatever. Sometimes it's nice if it's just grassroots. And someone says, well, look, I can come in here and show you what we're going to do in this section, if we do this. And it's actually maybe one of them people that are actually going to be leading it, say a supervisor or say a junior manager, whatever way you would call them, to explore that and show us.
It's a good point, Stuart, something we can look at as part of that workshop to bring in other people from other organisations to see how they did through the transition or the examples of best practice and consider them enough.
Councillor Gray. Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I certainly welcome this initiative. Certainly it's good to look at how we deliver our services, and I'm certainly happy to second Councillor Patrick's proposal on this. Maybe just ask one question. It's just a time scale, and obviously we want things done quickly too, but nevertheless, it is 1 to 2 months for officers to report back on best practice in different jurisdictions or whatever, and across the UK as well. Is that long enough to benchmark, to bring enough information to a workshop at the end of June? I just want to make sure that we've got all the options before us, we've looked at everything here on the ground. So it's just that's a question.
It's a very good question, and I'm conscious that we don't want to oversell and underdeliver what we plan to do here. We also believe that with a dedicated approach to this, we can undertake the research. We've had initial discussions with APSE, and one of the key APSE consultants who would be used to this across a number of councils has indicated he's assisting Belfast, he's assisting Manchester, a few others, Manchester, certainly a few across the water at this type of project. So we're looking to gain as much information and knowledge from him as to what the potential service will look like, from the front lane right back up to how we deliver from a management perspective. Perhaps if we can continue to aim for the June deadline, and if we find that we're struggling, we'll come back and report back through the RCS to ask for a further extension to that. But there's no reason why we can't have a number of workshops started. Today we hope we're on a number of workshops so we can start to flesh out the detail of what this service will look like.
Members, are we happy then? So on the proposal of Councillor Patrick, seconded by Councillor Craig, then it's been accepted then the recommendation to approach the transformation project as outlined by the officers. Move on to item 6. And item 6 is our EIT business plan. Now there is an EIT business plan now that the planning and building control of the EIT we have Marie with us. And there's only a specific section of the EIT business plan that is relevant for ourselves here in the RPM provided that. So if any member of here, I'll let Marie maybe come in and explain it.
Sure. As referenced, the relevant connection in this business plan of this committee is on page 12 and 13, which I think is probably page 52 and 3 on your minute pad. I just think the committee, if there's any questions, again, we will need exposure and secondary to the remainder of the business plan has been accepted by the ERG committee.
Oh, members of the floor? Proposed by Councillor Curry, second by Councillor Lamb. And no questions out of the way? No? All content? Okay. Thank you, Osprey. If we can move on then to item 7, this is a report that provides some street trade and destination areas for the square of Trevor. And if I can pass to Colleague Jackson, just to take us through that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Members, you noted the recommendations from the last meeting, and there was a recommendation to defer the decision on the request to designate the second safe trading pitcher in Lucas River. Officers were tasked to explore the possibility of utilising an existing trading pitch within the square in Rochever and to share that facility with two trailers. I can now confirm that both trailers are in favour of sharing this existing pitch in the square, and therefore it would be my recommendation to the committee that we refuse the proposal to designate a second trading pitch there at Mary Street in Rochever.
Thank you, Chair. Colin, thank you for your very prompt action on this issue and your diplomatic skills also in trying the day. So I would propose that we accept the recommendation to the future.
Okay, so proposed by Councillor Tilley, seconded by Councillor Rahm. Any other queries, any questions?
No.
All happy? If we can then move on to item 8, and item 8 is with regards to proposal of raising the height restriction barriers at Downs Road and Glen for car parks in Newcastle, and I think Tom will just be as well.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you have a report there in front of you in relation to the provision of height restriction barriers in two of the car parks in Newcastle. And you will recall from last year's decision in 2017 that the committee agreed to erect two height restriction barriers, in two of the car parks in Newcastle. At that case, officers were tasked to explore the possibility of relocating motorhomes into other car parks in town, and as it turns out, Donner car park was the preferred option. Additional work will be required to facilitate this option, and that will involve the removal of the existing parking bays, the erection of new signs, and then the physical marking out of new bays to facilitate the six motorhome bays. The total cost of the proposed works are highlighted in Appendix 3 of your report. Officers were also tasked with exploring a concept design for barriers to incorporate a silhouette for more mountains. And we contacted three local steel fabricators in the area, and they supplied quotations for this work. So if we look at Appendix 1, it shows you the bespoke type concept of the more mountains, and you compare that with Appendix 2, which shows a standard basic type height restriction barrier. So if we compare the prices in Appendix 3 of the report, and if you relook at that, you can see that the quotations 1, 2 and 3, they basically range from a cost of £14,500 up to £27,000. Whereas the basic design for the standard height restriction barrier comes in at £8,500. So my recommendation, based purely on costs, would be to go for the basic height restriction barrier. And what I'm seeking is your permission to proceed and to authorise the spend of the £8,500 for a basic height restriction barrier on two of the car parks in the castle.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the officer for his report. I suppose if we were looking at them just on best value, then you wouldn't go for the ordinary standard buyer. I think the location is a question here. This is looking out onto the seafront. It's an area that the previous council spent millions of pounds on, and to put a standard buyer in their locations, I think, would do a disservice to that quality and finish work on the promenade and on the streetscape in Newcastle. I had asked that, you know, officers did ensure that there was a good quality barrier was put in at these three locations to complement the seafront. I think that the barriers up would probably, we are taken away from that scenic area, but we have to minimise the amount of obstruction that's going to be put in place in the quality of that obstruction has to be as good as you possibly can make it. And I think the silhouette of the mountain range I think it does add something to the location. So I would prefer to see that the soap fire put in place. The area of the question, particularly the harbour, is a scenario of townscape character as well, that whole area, the old part of Newcastle. But also the Downs Road as well, it would be a historic sort of area also. You know, it's also obviously an area of outstanding natural beauty. It's a special area of conservation. So for them reasons, I would recommend or propose that we take the scope fire. Now, which of them cost us, I'm not sure of the quality in regards to them, but I would propose that we take the officer's recommendation in regards to what would be the best quote in regards to that, if we were, as we connected, going back to the proposal to go for the scope fire. So I propose that we do overturn the officer's recommendation, go for the scope fire, and take the advice of leave it delegated with the officer in regards to which is the best quality fire.
Okay, sir, Craig.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I certainly agree with what Councillor Clark has said. I'm just also a wee bit concerned. Just that I know that the part of the recommendations is to, as also the reconfiguration of the Donnerhead car park to facilitate dedicated motorhome parking. I suppose ideally I would have liked to see that done first, and then, you know, we're offering motorhome users an alternative facility before we basically shut them out of Newcastle. I think that there's quite a number of motorhome users do use various locations, and I think that we'll have to be very sensitive to them. I mean, they do go up the street to buy a cup of coffee and the restaurants and the evening meal and stuff, so the amount of trade that they provide is significant. And I think we should be looking at the overall tourist potential here as well, and acting sensitively on the matter. So ideally, I would love to see the actual work. Now, I'll query the fact that we're just providing six designated spots. However, I would be prepared to go along with that, providing that we were prepared to visit that at a later stage to see if we need to provide more. I mean, I'm fully aware, I fully appreciate the reasons behind putting the barriers there, and we've gone over that ground, so I'm not going to go over that again. But I do think we've observed potential options to treat this as a sensitive issue. I mean, ideally, if you look at the North Coast, if you think that we're trying to seriously compete with causing coastal drains, you'll see that they provided in a caravan, a motorhome facility there in Dunluce car park with spot lights. I don't honestly think that any of the users would think it ill to pay £10 a night if that was what was needed to cover basic costs of electricity connection or whatever. I mean, that's what they provided there in Dunluce car park in Port Rice, and they've also provided the facility for them to the contents of the carrying the toilet, etc. So, you know, I just think we should be looking at things here. So now, just wondering if we're putting the cart before the horse here. We're shutting, don't want to be seen to be appearing to shut the gate without having another facility first. So, you know, that's really where I'm coming from, Chair.
Yes, Councillor Gray, I totally agree with what you're saying there, and it will be our intention to provide the facilities within Donald Job prior to the erecting of the barriers at the other two car parks, because that is the one that is this conflict. So it will be our intention to provide the facilities at Donald before the barriers will be erected.
Okay. George, can you just come back to something? I mean, a lot of this is all to do with how we're handling it. Is there any way by media or whatever that we can, or even just a leaflet drop at even some weekends to motorhome users to say what's happening? Is that a possibility?
Yeah. It would be our intention to erect temporary signs at both sites prior to the barriers going up.
but also there's a mechanism where we can actually engage with the motorhome users through some sort of a WhatsApp group that they use, and they circulate and communicate through that fashion, and we would contact them, and we've got contacts within that group, and with the intention of to contact them to advise them that we're not trying to prevent them from coming to Newcastle, but we're just trying to relocate them into a different area of the town.
Yes, thank you, and welcome to the report. I was going to agree with Willie's proposal, and I would be prepared to send that, and I'm glad that you've taken the considerations just of Gareth that he's brought up there. So the scope barrier, I do think with obviously the area and the location, I think it probably would be the more tasteful one, but what's going to finish, would that be galvanised, is that going to be this
and
yellow
kind
on the scope one?
No, it will be the galvanised steel cable, but I think it's actually printed
black.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. No, we will be going away from the bright yellow.
That's okay,
but
obviously just from the basic one, but no, I would
set
them,
obviously,
going to the scope option.
Chris,
is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, this is, I guess, aimed mainly to always get away to DEA commissioners. You sort of know the fields on the ground where these things are proposed to be placed, but I just can't help but notice that the bespoke one could take the view that it is the basic design plus a few wee bits of fancy steel on the top. So I suppose the question is, assume that people within your office possibly came to the same view when they seen these two pictures. Was the possibility entertained of putting some sort of camouflage poster or signage on the basic to give the same visual impact of the bespoke, but at half the price? Because the bespoke, the cheapest bespoke is twice the price of the basic. So I know I'm probably jumping all over this, but do you get what I'm saying?
With regard to price, we actually worked with one of the manufacturers there and asked, to give us some sort of a design. We gave them a design brief as to the outline of the one mountains, but we wanted something that was actually quite sturdy and that was going to last the test of time there. So it was something that is actually quite sturdy. It's not just something that's planted on. It's actually, the metal, I think there's going to be something 50-inch square box section type metal that's fixed to the top of the barrier, and it is something that's quite sturdy, and it is something that we think should last the test of time. So it's not just something that's stuck onto it. In relation to the pricing, those are the prices that the three contractors came back with, and officers have no control over what we're going to receive. What we can do is go back and consult with them again and come back and come up with what we think is the best value for money if we go for one of the bespoke options.
I know you had indicated to Harrison Crawley that the bespoke ones would be more sympathetic colour. I'm assuming that would be the case also in the basic. It wouldn't be that.
The entire barrier itself would be actually made up of in black. It's aluminium and in black. The two parts behind down, they're deliberately made yellow and black so to prevent someone from actually bumping into them. But on top of that, what we're intending doing is providing ramps on the side of those to slow the traffic down so that they do that, but not cause any long term damage to the barriers themselves. And that was because if you're going to spend that sort of money, then you don't want to try and protect your investment.
There's been a proposal then by Mr. Clark that we accept going for a bespoke option rather than the Austrian recommendation of going for the standard option, as we said, by Chris McCauley. I know that there's some other point of view. I don't know, Jared, I don't think we make a proposal to go for it, though.
No, so, I'm sure there's three bespoke options. So, which one do you think the card will be?
I didn't see the hand.
Yeah,
so
sorry, I didn't see, you know, the tender exercise, so I'm not aware of the quality, you know, criteria, and so that would have to be delegated to the officers, you know. I would imagine that.
I think as well, looking from what Carl said, he said that he's going to bring back.
But I said, we would be happy to make that decision. So based on the information that we have, we would be happy to make the decision which we will go for, and consider the cost as well.
Yeah. And sure, I agree with the comments from Scott in regards to you don't want to be, you know, not welcome in place for motorhomes and motor caravans. I do want to accommodate them, but it has to be in a way that's sympathetic with residents in the area also, particularly in Riverhouse, where residents can hardly get parked in that car park, you know. So it's just getting that balance. And there's a number of private sector motor homeowners, you know, who could obviously take off some of that slack, who do provide accommodation. So you don't want to displace that also, you know, where people have invested and then the council come in and take the business off them. So you need to mind for all them things moving forward. But I do take on Gus.
I suppose at this stage I would maybe ask them for the plans, just for all those here in favour. Accepted unanimously on the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor McCauley, then to go with the Facebook option, and the Colin and the team then are able to make the decision based on price and best value. That's perfect.
Can then we go on to items 9 through 12 are the Savage Plan, and we have Anthony here with us. And Anthony, I think maybe talk with yourself and members of the collective from here as well, if you direct it towards.
Thanks, Chair. I mean, I'll not take you through the report because you're familiar with them, but I'm happy to take any questions you might have. Just one point that, or one issue that I would want to draw to your attention. You may or may not be aware of it, but we were involved in a judicial review over the last number of months where a decision of the planning committee to approve a social housing scheme in Crossgar was the committee granted the planning approval. That decision was the subject of a judicial review. We had the judgment handed down to us on Monday. The judge in the High Court confirmed our decision to grant public permission, so we successfully defended the county's position against that challenge. So, as I said, the judgment was handed down on Monday, and we're happy to share that with you if you'd like to see it. That's four more units of social housing that will go ahead now in Crossgar.
Well, no issue with Andy's report unless somebody wants to come in on that particular aspect of it.
But that wasn't my concern with the not necessarily any live application, but I suppose it does stand around planning. The concerns of meeting all groups had today, representatives of all the groups had with the residents from Tarnby and Jordan's surrounding issues at the region site. Now, it's not a perfect wish to have any terms and conditions that have been, you know, imposed on any previous application or have this council were strictly monitored and adhered to. But they raised major concerns with us, and some of them were very concerning to us, and the rest of the councillors who were there would come in with their own take on what had happened. But we have concerns. I mean, and I noticed the stuff out about taking the car service out that night about local garage out there, and I was concerned with some orders and some articles that I had seen them in charge of a park nearby. So they have a right to feel aggrieved, and what their main concern would be that there would need to be an independent environmental impact assessment done. And maybe that was done before, but they don't have any confidence in the Hampton City Executive or NIEA. That's clearly happening from what they say today. Now, some of the aspects mentioned are here. David, for instance, who represents quite a number of people from the area.
Thank you, Chair. Just, I want to, you know, obviously support all the comments that Chairman Charlie's made in respect of this issue. It's something that I've been making representations on the various stops, just to be aware of a long period of time. The residents of the schemes where the concerns that have been raised by various parties over the years just haven't been fully addressed. There has been serious concern about the lack of an environmental impact assessment being carried out. Because they're looking right on top of this facility, and they've been here a long time, but they were there before the facility was. And the facility obviously has grown significantly to what it first was whenever it was created. They have concerns and various concerns about the quality of life that they enjoy as a consequence of the activities around the facility. They obviously want us to be more proactive in terms of what we can do. And we do this today, and we have, and we continue to make representations on that. But their main issue seems to be about the need for an independent environmental impact assessment in particular. And that may make us some way to at least try and address the concerns that they have, or give them some sort of reassurance that there isn't an impact from the facility. But it's key for them, it's a key component for them in terms of addressing the concerns, and certainly I think we should do what we can to address that and to help them in progress in that.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I just support the previous two speakers on the issue. I do feel that the scope of the facility has increased dramatically over the years. And certainly know it provides an important facility for our own council here. But nevertheless, I think we've got a duty of care to local residents there, and appropriate checks and balances are put in place. So certainly I support any call for an independent review.
Councillor Dunne.
I concur with previous comments, Chair. I was also at the meeting. I suppose there's nothing more frustrating than a resident in the field that I would listen to. We certainly are duty bound to try and address their concerns through whether it's a department of council that looks after that, or indeed support an independent outlet to get the report that they require. But just looking at the fears of the rest, the housing changes out there since the plant initially opened, and the concerns continue to. The concerns and the issues raised by the residents continue to grow, and probably that's the direction of travel going forward. So I think we should be doing all we can to turn the roads here.
Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, just in turn of the room, but I echo the previous councillors are at the meeting as well. And a small community there, and all I'm worried about are concerned with is their families and themselves. We have a duty of care as a council to look after our residents. So all they want is assurance at the end of the day that nothing that's going on there is detrimental to the health of themselves and their family. Sure. Thank you.
I know that obviously there's been a lot of things that has been said, but Anthony, I know that as Councillor Casey has been saying, that there is a certain amount of this that is maybe comes down to maybe planning, maybe some aspect of planning, especially for the talk about the idea of the environmental assessments. So maybe are you able to maybe give us any sort of feedback on, or maybe try and answer some of the queries or for councillors?
I'll do my best. We do have a number of outstanding planning applications relating to that site which remain to be determined. They are, in the total scheme of things, relatively minor applications. There's a history of planning approvals on that site. They also operate within the structures imposed by the Northern Ireland Environment Agency, their waste management licenses, etc. And so it should already be a highly regulated site. I note the call for an independent environmental impact assessment. I'm not really sure that is going to be the appropriate language to be using. I think probably what is needed is if reassurance can be given to
to the residents that the site is operating within the terms of the planning permissions of the various permits that it has, and that there's nothing going on the site that hasn't been authorised. I mean, in theory, these sites are highly regulated. From our point of view, I mean, we have a planning enforcement team, and we're happy to, we will review the planning situation on site, and we can report back. We can report back on the planning aspects to this committee. We'd be happy to engage with our council teams and the Northern Ireland Agency in relation to those permits that on the sort of, I mean, that's really not an independent review in the sense that the members might be asking for it, but it's work that we could do on your behalf if you wish to give you at least that.
Sir, I suppose the question I would ask is, what authority do we have in the council in terms of authorising the EIA to be carried out, or where does such authorisation have to come from?
In relation to EIA, I mean, if there were a proposal to carry out development on that site that was EIA development, and maybe an environmental producing statement. But that's not what you're looking at here at the moment. There are concerns that I suspect that you're saying that the site is not operating in accordance with its existing permissions.
There has been occasions where work has been carried out and that's been looked at and investigated, but I think the main concerns are here about health and quality of life. What we're going to ask them as representatives is, what can we do to try and push for the EIA to carry out? Because I suppose there's questions as to whether, you know, I suppose it's been raised in the past by statutory agencies, we don't think there is a need, but then there is an argument coming from others that there is a need for us to carry out. What I'm trying to establish is what authority we have as a council, or is elected representatives that have requested one or authorised one for it to be carried out.
I don't think we have any authority to demand that an environmental impact assessment be carried out. The site has been rigorously assessed over many years. I mean, I've been involved in one shape or form with this site since the very start. So the site has been subject to considerable assessment, and obviously planning permissions and permits were issued in relation to this site, and all of the statutory bodies were content that this site would not give rise to significant environmental effects. So I genuinely don't think there's any value in seeking to rerun a process that's maybe already been done several times. I think the issue is there anything going on this site that would give rise to health concerns in the survey? And that goes back to, is there something going on this site that either doesn't have permission or is not being carried out in accordance with this permission?
I say, Chairman, that the residents accept the fact that it makes a good contribution to what the council are and what the council are about and creates employment, and realise it and accept that there will be orders. But their main concern, as David has said, is health concerns. And if there are particle releases, which seems to be clearly evident that there is that happening there, how are they going to be analysed? First of all, get up and analysed, and the outcome may go to us as councillors.
also, can I just add, I have to be very worried here, and I do have to really state this, that we have to be very careful with the comments that we make here, because if we are making accusations, you know, this is a public meeting, it's recorded meeting, it's audio recorded, so just be very careful with the lines that we're using, and just be mindful of that.
Thanks, Chair. Nobody's making any accusations. I want to make that very clear. We're again to use, we have concerns expressed to us, and what we want to find out is, as elected representatives of the council, what we can do to address those concerns, and that's what we are calling the official to the scene.
Chair, let's be able to just come in that we're just outlining what they're asking and say to us, Chair. We're not, you know, we just didn't bring this up before we come into the council chamber.
Councillor Patrick.
Okay, just a suggestion, I don't know if it would work, but is it possible that some of our council officers, along with a number of the residents and obviously elected representatives, perhaps meet with some of our environmental officers within the council and ask NIEA officers who are designated for looking after that department, you know, to look after region or whatever, to come and actually have a meeting, you know, with the residents or whatever, and have a conversation with them. To find out, you know, because if there is, they must do A, but they're doing A plus a little bit of B, I don't know, but they're doing less than that or whatever, that they can actually know and then be alert to what they think might be happening or what's not happening, and be able to have a contact with NIEA along with our own environmental officers, and be able to have that security of it. I'm not saying that that's the solution to it, but if they don't feel, maybe they don't actually have a person within NIEA that they feel that they're getting spoken to with or dealt with or whatever. So quite often they're just an email or they're just way over there, but if they actually kind of met them, they might actually understand where the residents are coming from and have a conversation with them, make them understand both sides of it, and then go with it from there. NIEA has to ask Regen to do something about it. So if there's anything wrong, I don't know. I'm looking at it.
Our members happy with it, such a vote.
We need some sort of discussion on the questions in the first episode. Conscious of the environment point of view, it's probably better we have a meeting and have a little discussion about it. And if we can proceed and arrange that, I would be happy to propose that.
Well, thank you.
The challenge is already proposed.
So.
They explain, they're able to express their views, because I know they're expressing, you know, I've had people come to me with environmental issues before, but they express to me, but I'm not a qualified environmental person. So to have somebody that from our council that's environmentally qualified, and then to have NIEA who are able to have that conversation, and then our own team can actually maybe translate that into basic English so we understand what the lessons are able to do and how they're able to move forward with it.
Just to be clear, we have a meeting
our elected reps that are involved in it, NIEA and our environmental officers.
And the elected reps as well,
right?
Which
elected reps?
So,
just with Mary or
Are all happy with that solution? Yes. Thank you very much. Any other questions for Anthony? Are all happy? All happy with the course? Okay. We can now move on to item 13. And item 13 is a report to our capital project for public conveniences. And if I can pass to Kevin for that, please.
Thanks, Chair. The Council has a capital project, and the committee is aware of this, to upgrade, replace the stock of public conveniences across the Council, and also to provide a new facility in the village of Killoth over a 3-year period, and the cost that we have within the capital budget is $1.2 million. The focus in year one, which is the year that we're currently in, is to be on the public conveniences within Newcastle, Sainfield, and the new facility for Killoth. The report which I present, Chair, outlines specific issues we have with the 13 DAMPO public convenience units in the Legacy Down District Council area, and they relate to the servicing of those units and also the standard of cleanliness that we were able to maintain last year, which became the subject of complaint, particularly in the Newcastle area. Replacement or significant works, Chair, will not take place this side of the summer. So we're proposing within the report a plan to address the issues of complaint received last year concerning the Newcastle toilets. And that plan will comprise that we will have all the DAMPO units inspected by the company itself, DAMPO, who will come across from England to do that. And they will make recommendations in relation to various items of work that will need to be carried out before the summer period. And the plan would be to have that carried out. We'll also review, which I think was a significant issue last year, how we clean these units on a daily basis, how frequently we clean them. And we would aim then to increase the frequency to a level which we believe is required in order to provide the level of service that our customers want. The committee also has previously agreed when we discussed this matter to set up a cross-directed study group to ensure all relevant information is available to ensure that the capital programme, once implemented, is properly directed to achieve the best value and be in line with other council aims and objectives. I have to tell you that that cross group has not yet been established, and it's important that we do that. At officer level, we see that that group could potentially be a very important group in order to ensure that the direction of travel we move and the spend that we have here is spent correctly. The report then goes on to talk about how we're going to try and achieve this. And the first thing we're going to try and do is establish an actual project team, which will be established within my own department, within the existing resources in terms of wages and salaries, and their focus will be very much on the delivery of this particular capital project and other capital projects which have been agreed by the council, which my department has to implement within the new directorate. As part of the findings from the cross-directed study group, we're going to use that as a mechanism to confirm and refine any spend as we go forward. Now, within the report, those recommendations are summarised within section 1.2 of the report, and I'm asking that the committee would endorse that action plan. Chair.
Thanks, Andrews. Thanks very much, Chair. I do welcome the different. Thanks very much for all the hard work that's gone on the gallery. You know, I know a lot of studies across the district have reached the end of the race, and I think it's going to get more down the data, but they definitely need the base, especially through the latest towns and resorts. But, you know, as I'm saying, quite a lot of impressions got four or five generations of our facilities. I know it may not for something great. I always have a little bit about the patient and how good the quality on the conditions towards, etc. But, you know, as I say, impressions are formed by the condition of these facilities, and I do welcome the efforts to have facilities upgraded with fiscal purpose, and most of all, by good at their mind. So I would like to propose that we go ahead with the scheme of work. Thank you.
Mr. Clark. Thanks, Chair. I agree with Councillor Andrews in regards to the first impressions makes a big difference to people who visit our towns, but also the locals as well. And this was brought up in Newcastle where people just felt the condition of the toilets were extremely poor for one of our main tourism areas. But also the Thameslink regime, I think that's important also. You can have the best facilities, but very little Thameslink. So I welcome the strategic approach from the council. I think this is the way to do it. We've secured 1.2 million over the 3-year period budget. So I think we have to ensure we spend that wisely, that money as best we can, because I think this is our only opportunity for a considerable period of time, you know, of getting this right. So I think coming up in the summer, I think it's important that cross-directorate study group do have an opportunity to meet with the various stakeholders. We talked about autistic groups and also dementia groups to get their opinions in regards to what we needed to put in place. And it's not as if we're going to change in places to talent in every area, but it's, I think it's important that we have them in the areas where with the greatest concentration of people. And so I'm particularly thinking of teenagers with autism and getting them changed. I think it's unacceptable that they have to get changed on the floor of public toilets, and I don't think that's acceptable. So they're the type of things we need to look at, we need to address. When I talk to mothers with, in fact, as I said, teenagers of children, you know, it's very hard to lift the children. You know, they need a hoist. You know, so they're the type of things we need to have discussions about moving forward. I think it's important that we get any necessary repairs carried out before the summer season arrives. I think that's sensible as well. Moving forward, we talked about toilet provision of blocks. There's need for toilet provision in the home, and for a long period of time it's been discussed in the Legacy Council, and they're not using the word Legacy Council, they're too old. But there needs that provision put in place there, because, you know, it's a very popular town also, again, for visitors going to, you know, down to the National Trust properties at the Cardinals Sale. There's a number of different niche shops and restaurants, and I just think it's a, you know, it's a location we certainly have to look at providing that toilet provision. Again, for the same issues, children out for the day, and where do you bring them to go to the toilet? You know, a number of parents have discussed that with me recently, and told them again, and I'm just using this opportunity to articulate that also. So I welcome the approach, and I look forward to the reports coming back on what replacements, what refurbishments have been done. But I welcome the strategic element and the way the council is approaching it. I think that makes sense. So I'm happy to say.
Councillor McCullough.
Yes, I'd also like to welcome the board as well. Particularly with Newcastle as an autism friendly town, you know, it's better that facilities are essential for disabled access, autism, and elderly as well. But the cleanliness of the toilets in Newcastle does leave a lot to be desired at high season, because I know I've got numerous complaints to, you know, high season and things as well. And as the tourism centre of the district, we really should be providing you know, a better sort of standard, because they are at the moment well below visitors and locals' expectations. Tourism NI as well have a great emphasis throughout Northern Ireland in the industry of quality. And you know, as a council, I think it's our obligation to be providing high quality public conveniences for any visitors of our locals as well, of that high standard, if we want to see any growth in our tourism opportunities in Newcastle and indeed throughout the district as well. And I do know that my party colleagues have been making representations in recent years as well about Dundrum and the network facilities there, and maybe we update them as well on Tolkien toilets, because I know they were standardised quite badly.
Sure, yes, there was some unfortunate vandalism in the Kilkeel area recently, and I know that there was a meeting with local councillors and officers, and it is intended to try to improve the security of that facility, so for the out of hours, so that we can ensure that it's not vandalised to the extent that it was recently vandalised. The report does refer to the request we've received in relation to Dundrum, the request for an additional facility in Dundrum. And the report indicates that it is our proposal that's something. We currently don't have a mechanism for judging one request over another for a new public facility. We also have a request for a new public convenience at Caliph, the amenity area, an extremely popular area during the summertime, but there is no facility there. But as officers and as councillors, we don't have a means of judging one request over the other, so which one's more important than the other. And we see this across the departmental group as a mechanism by which we can draw up criteria which you as councillors can then agree, which will assist you and assist us to judge one request over another, because we don't have infinite resources to provide public conveniences everywhere, so we do have to make choices. And we hope through this group that we'll be able to give you a logical way of determining one request against another. Sure.
Councillor Hall.
Proposal.
Sorry, Councillor Clark.
Not sure, thanks for that. Let's start again. just in regards to, we just discussed about the cleansing regime and maybe looking at increasing that cleansing. In regards to, I think it's important that there's a record kept when the toilet was cleansed, almost like a charter, where it was cleansed. And then if the toilet is put in the basket, at least we know about the time where that happened. Because I know officers would say that, yes, it was kind of the toilet time where you were in it, and then it's absolutely filthy. So if we have a written charter when it was cleansed, I can make it useful to us on the wall.
Chair, we can consider that, and if that's a practical thing to do, yes, and it would answer those questions which you currently can't answer, you know, when was it last cleaned, and that. So yes, if we can do that, Chair, we'll implement that over the summer period, and perhaps Newcastle will be one of the areas we could trial that. If we're not already, we may already be doing that in some toilets as it is, because we have two different ways of two different. We're still in the old legacy area of down to it this way and doing it that way, and we need to bring it together. We're all doing it the one way, and we're doing it at the high level as opposed to the lower level.
I think everyone's in agreement that it's on the proposal then of Councillor Andrews and Secretary Councillor Clark to accept the officer's recommendations. Okay, if we can move then on to item number 14, which is the report of the Arden Capital Project, the FM&M Department, and again, which is the Clerk Cabin.
Thanks, Chair. The report provides a list of capital projects which have been agreed to be implemented by the Department over the next four financial years, and they are provided in Appendix A with the capital budget that's been agreed. With our procurement procedures, we as officers are required to receive full council approval to proceed to tender for each of those projects. Now, those projects are not yet ready to go to tender, but we're putting them to you at the moment with the budget that has been agreed. And we're seeking your approval that we as officers can now start to progress them towards tender. Chair. The group as a recommendation from this committee did set up a Councillor's Christmas Illumination Celebration Group, and the purpose of the group is really to agree a 5-year programme for how the council will help local communities celebrate Christmas. This report provides an update on the work of this group, but the specific issue concerns a proposal from the group to try and reduce the number of cut Christmas trees that we provide each year to local communities. We currently provide 28 cut Christmas trees across the district, and we've been in contact with each of the DEF forum. We've been to their most recent meetings to try and gauge their view in relation to one of the proposals that's coming out of the group's meetings, and that's about providing what we're referring to as a starter kit for local communities who wish to participate in it. And the starter kit will comprise of the council coming in, agreeing a location to plant a real Christmas tree, a tree that will be somewhere between 4 to 4.5 metres in height. And that's what the council will provide. What the community would need to undertake after that as part of this agreement is that they would look after the tree from then on. There will be infrastructure issues in terms of how do you get lights to the trees, and we have to work through that. What the group has asked me to do and the officers to do at the last meeting was, let's see how this looks like on the ground, because communities don't really know what it would be like. And the group has said that, can we get some of these sites in place before Christmas so that local communities can see what this would look like. And that might encourage others to look for these starter kits if we decide to roll them out. Now, we have identified 7 of our existing sites where we actually put a cut tree each year, which are currently, in our view, suitable to plant a tree. More work has to be done, but those sites are in Rostrava, Belix, Cullyhanna, Annalong, Attacall, Cullaville and Burn. So the initial assessment there is positive, and what we're asking the committee to do now is approve us as officers to make contact with the relevant local groups in those areas to see if those groups would be happy to replace what they currently have, which is a cut tree, for a planted tree. and to do that between now and Christmas. If they're agreeable, then we will need to look at the actual site themselves to see whether the ground is suitable. They get dig down into the to where it is we're proposing to put the tree to make sure there's nothing there that's going to obstruct the tree to grow or interfere with it in any way. Now, of those seven sites, we may get a number of those which we deem are suitable to go ahead with, and then we propose to go ahead with those and get a number of those in existence before Christmas. So, Chair, that's the report, and the committee is asked to agree the proposals within 3.2 of the report.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thanks for the report. Item M on that, the Administration Committee, Chair. They commend the recommendation that has been brought forward here. So, when one looks at what has happened here before across the two district, there was an uneven spread of trees across the down side of the district as opposed to the nearly morning. I suppose that to start and then fill in the gaps, so to speak, and downside with the current system, I think was definitely unsustainable from a financial perspective. But environmentally, I think this is the way to go. It will lend itself eventually to an equitable distribution of trees throughout the district. When sites are identified, and communities are engaged on the subject, it encourages them to take ownership of the tree, and hopefully Christmas events then will start to appear throughout, where up to this point that hasn't been the case. So I would like to recommend that the recommendation be the recommendation be accepted. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Long.
Yes, we will undertake to do that. Concentrating on the existing site, I suppose, is the easy hit, and the ones because we already have a location, we already have the power there. But we will, if agreed by the committee, also look to see if there are sites within the other DEAs where we can find a suitable site and trial it there as well.
I think it's a good news story for the council. This is us showing initiative again, particularly from an environmental point of view, jobs certainly, but also in the long term for saving resources. We plant a tree, obviously, and the start gets the potential of working based on other data by continually having to put cut trees in these locations. Just in regards to the locations, and I agree this is a pilot, but as Mickey says, we do have to look at probably other areas because there has to be a balance in regards to how the council approaches this. All these locations are in legacy, you're here in Morn. So there does have to be that balance when we're taking the community with us. And I think you'll get community buy-in in regards to this, and I'm conscious this is a pilot. But we need to bring the community with us, and we don't want any negativity in regards to moving forward in regards to it. So I would ask that, particularly if it's one area, it was Kaku, was one area where the community actually puts their own Christmas trees. There's a location where there's lighting there also, or electricity supply also. And particularly because it came to the more senior area in regards to the consultation, and the Kiltoo chairperson of the local group was there and was really enthusiastic and obliged to come to maybe avail of this opportunity. Could I ask maybe that that is followed up?
Sure, yes, we'll do that. I think from some of the other DAs, there's already been a tree has been planted in the village of Killyleagh, and that could be part of that as well. And I think at one of the other at the DAs, we also were somebody referred to the village of Clough, where there was already a couple of trees there, which the village in any case uses. So we can try and get involved in those areas as well. And then if there are any other DAs which are left out, we'll try and see if we can find a suitable site there. I know Council Harvey has asked that we look at Cross Gar and the potential to put a tree in close to the Listlay Play Park area, and that's something we can look at as well.
Thanks for the proposal then of Councillor Todd Tunley, seconded by Councillor Rahn, to be civil agreement with the proposal to accept the option recommendation. Thank you, Oscar. I think we can move on then to item 16. And item 16 is a report with regards to the acquisition of vehicles from 2017 to 2022. And I'd like to pass to Liam for this item.
Thank you, Chair. Just for the background, Council has agreed a capital plan for the replacement of 122 vehicles during the period 2017 to March 22. Just the officers have, we have established a plan to ensure that vehicles are purchased within the time frame. To date, we've purchased 18 vehicles with 9 currently on delivery. So the report details that there will be 49 vehicles purchased in the current financial year, and thereafter 36 vehicles procured in the next financial year. And really, what it's an update report to the council that will keep updated. But
I
just
asked
that you report
from
the intent of the report
to the committee. Council is happy to do the report, but does anyone have any questions for you with regards to the report? Welcome down. We move then on to item 17, and items that have helped the report with regard to the request for clarification by Jenny Williams, who is the Chief Executive for Habitat. Liam, can you give us a quick
reminder? Thank you. Chairman, the Council will recall and certainly the Council have requested that we do explore options for what we call reuse. So the items that we have disposed of the civic community sites may potentially be given new lease of life rather than disposing of them. So potentially such scheme would increase awareness of recycling and could reduce our waste ratings. And a reuse scheme can also fit well in our waste strategy. What you have in front of the letter from Habitat, I think it's a very timely, come in a very timely fashion. And we've received a proposal from Habitat Northern Ireland advising that Habitat proposed to set up a lease store, or a Habitat lease store, effectively a reuse at Murray. And they've asked that they come and share their plans with the council. Recommendations are basically that yes, we do invite Habitat to come to the next council meeting on a mid-March meeting and do a presentation as to what their aspirations and plans are. And secondly, that we now do undertake take expressions of interest for reuse partners at our own civic event sites, and we will be timetable June of this year to start moving that forward.
Councillor Clark. Sir, I suppose we do accept the invite. Habitat and I do a lot of good work in the community locally and obviously overseas as well. I think it's important that we do reuse the materials that are going to our civic community sites, that they are used by members of the public. Instead of it going to end up, some of it going to landfill, but also some of it being obviously recycled if there's a use before that, then I think we should avail of that opportunity. And they haven't had and I give a number of examples of stores that they have set up where people can come in and shop for almost any household items and then second hand shops. But there's also opportunity there for builders and developers to work with Habitat and I in regards to reusing kitchens and paints and all sorts of materials. So I think we're very, it's very kind of lovely to hear from them now before we go for the expressions of interest.
Thanks for being.
Yes, Chairman, I'm certainly happy to second the proposal. I think it's, I've never seen it amaze me what quality products people tend to take to their local civic community site. I'm sure there's a lot of items that could be reused by other families that are less fortunate. So, yes, I am more than delighted to be able to second.
It's been proposed there by Councillor Clark and second by Councillor Craig that we accept the officer's recommendation. All for that. Okay. No objections then. We have item 18. Item 18 is a report with regard to progress. It is respected from people of the High School Civic Community Centre by Patrick. And again, this is your
document. Chair, just an update. Councillors will be aware of the new Civic Community Centre developed at St. Patrick. We currently have a site well past its sell-by date, and we have been working on this project now since the commencement of the year. But just to report books for the clearance of trees to facilitate, you know, the recent, all the trees are now removed, and we're ready to issue tender documents. I've attached from the appendix draft project plan, which will take us through to December this year, so we hope to be on site up and running by December this year. But the works will not be complete before the existing lease at the Trinidad Road site is expires. So we have provided for an extension of the lease. And additionally, a bill of quantities is required, not previously provided for. So the recommendations, Chairman, are detailed in the papers. We need to appoint an RPS, the design engineers, who currently drew up the design for the site, to be appointed to prepare a bill of quantities. The cost £6,439. This was not in previous tender process. And secondly, the existing lease to be extended to Cluna Road for another 6 months, and potentially then on a month by month going afterwards, to make sure that we continue to have a facility at St. Patrick until the new site opens. We also propose to bring back progress reports to justify that the project is getting on, the council is just keep updated with the reports at that time.
Thank you, Councillor
Carney. Yes, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank the Labour for bringing this report through. I think I've heard and to support the progress that they've made. And to date, yes, I'm so totally satisfied with the progress that has been made. And it's good to see that things are well on the back of it. But it is already, and it is true, the approval that it wasn't mentioned in the tender. And I just couldn't understand why that didn't happen for me when the people are trying to put the thing one thing for them. But having said that, you know, I would propose that we go along with the recommendations here in relation to the funding of RPS and the lease of the Trinidad Road for the rest of the time they've got. And I look forward to see more reports coming to us on the updates of how that's happening. But I just got all the part that I know the approval for RPS provided the funding surveys of the group. And then the original one, but other than that, thank you for the report, and it's good to see the progress in the
council.
Yeah, no issues with what's going on at the city community. The issue is over the trees. How many trees was there then? Was there no alternative to removing the trees? Were they aged trees? Were they protected? Were they diseased? I'm not a tree hugger, but can you hear that trees have been removed? I mean, everybody gets a back off of that.
I think we just define them maybe as invasive species. But certainly, the site that the council identified for the new civic community site, the fact that we're trained on the site and had to be removed, Councillor Casey, that said it is, that they were on the site, that was the site we identified, so the trees had to be removed.
So on the proposal of Councillor Curley, seconded by Councillor Casey, to accept the officer's recommendations, are we all content with that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we can move on to item 19, again, this is a name as well, taking the policy.
Item 19 is a RFP policy, and I believe this will be up to the record that we have to propose to take this on as well. That's really good.
Thank you,
Madam
Chairman. I'm able to point out that draining activities in the council, they must be organised safely and comply with statutory requirements. We have a driver handbook in operation, and we have other procedures in Europe. We've taken in reference collection, we have witness assessments, we have procedures for reversing the screws, we have procedures for collection routes on main roads. But the fleet policy isn't the same responsibility for the fleet. The responsibility for managers and drivers and details of who can drive what and when they can drive it. You'll also be aware that we manage the fleet under what we call operational license. There is a requirement in that we must have a fleet policy, and it's recommended that the policy that we have submitted to you today is endorsed by the committee. It will be reviewed to see how well it fits in over the next 6 months period, and we will make the detail of all the responsibilities to all the staff that need to know about it. And then it will be reviewed and brought back to you probably in January next year.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks so much, sir. First of all, again, thank you very much for the report. And I'd like to take this opportunity at this juncture to pay tribute to all our drivers who endure all conditions, especially the adverse weather we've had recently, especially right across the year, the impact of working out conditions, etc. And again, pay tribute to them. And also, in addition, I know in the fleet policy, safety, road safety is tantamount, and also safety for the crews, etc. But maybe the council that was without its limit should, I know that it does take opportunity of encouraging drivers to improve in skills, maybe have more courses, and want to give our drivers an incentive to learn more, and maybe a water reward system for them, the driver of the month or whatever, or something to go to one of the drivers to be put out the awards, and to give the drivers an incentive for us to compete amongst one another, you know, to enhance the skills, etc., to be an enabler for a good recognition from the council, maybe through a forum, so that would be permissible. But I would like an opportunity, we will propose the paper that's been presented, but just some of the points I wanted to get on board to.
Proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Craig. Liam, are you wanting to come back in with Councillor Andrews' remarks, or is just to take note of me? Councillor Andrews?
3 points, and I think yes, we could take note of them.
The former Bentman out was going to be a driver, but the council didn't keep me long.
No objection to them, to move them on to item 20. Item 20 is regarding the staff and the rest of the state itself.
Can you come in your own
teacher? Again, it's compassionate under William.
Chairman, it's by way of update. Management has advised that we're working towards the filling of any vacant posts in refuge and street spending. The road department is in the council's state road department. You'll be aware and understand that posts have to be advertised, they have to be interviewed, and necessary driver testing for capability undertaken. So the report sets out the very key stages as it did, and I can say that we now progress to point three along a 5-point plan. So if we're on schedule to conclude by the end of June 2018, by what time we will anticipate that we'll be up to full staffing in the next week in counting terms. So the recommendation is just ask the committee to note the report.
First of all, I do welcome the paper. Again, it's good to see that for so many of our workers who have been on long-term temporary contracts, who have been in agencies, etc., it's good to see that the council's given them the opportunity to become permanent and personable. And as I say, this has been an issue for this past 5 years. Some of our staff have been temporary contracts for 7 years, maybe more, but at least at last, it's good to, in my opinion, it's good to see we're all being put right here. And you know, again, the council will be committed for engaging in this project of getting the staff funded, and I think it gives staff more certainty and security, and it's good to see. So I would propose that we accept that.
I think that the report is just an open, so are everyone happy for the open report? Does anyone have any questions regarding the report?
Yeah, No, no further questions. Well, that's been taken on us
here. Thank you.
I think it is a good time to say that in regards to waste management, there's a lot of hard work in this on the ground, and as Harry has said, I think our drivers and all the crews should be commended for it. So thank you very much for having me up at the end as well. Items 21 to 23 for notes. So item 21, we have our 21 joint committee meeting minutes from the 29th of March of this year. We have item 22 is our 21 members voting for Luton from the 29th of March of this year. And item 22 is historic action sheet. Has anyone got any comments? Mr. Darby?
Chairman, there's in relation to our action sheet, one is that they are having the bottom line. This is replacement, but there's obviously a meeting that happened, but no notifications. And we're going to follow up on that.
Yes, sir. In relation to, I know we had a discussion earlier on the meeting about Habitat, and I thought what did Habitat do, but in relation to the amendments that's been kicking about on the historic action sheets, and I'm glad to see that hopefully it will be finished by the end of June in relation to the old furniture at Council Recycling Tech. I know there's a big deal with WTL and the public that sort of work with old furniture, whatever the decorative kind of offering, so the proceeds go back towards the charity. And I know there's already these things completed, and just looking forward to the final, just to see what the final recommendations are, because again, it's a good cause for the public to work with people with various disabilities. And I say that the work is second to none, and it would be good to see that there's a level of furniture is available that can be had. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. I think tonight the next set of items are restricted in accordance with Part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. So we have items 24, 25, 26, and 27 are deemed to be exempt under Paragraph 3 of Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, not of Ireland 2014. Information related to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the Council, hold in that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these kinds of business. Can I have the proposer and the second to go into closed session? Proposed by Councillor Craig and the second by Councillor Curry. Item 24, which is a proposal to provide Christmas illuminations, on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Ryan, it was agreed to approve the recommendations listed under 3.1 of the report presented to the committee. Item 5. Item 25, proposal to provide a concrete pathway to Decorative Cemetery Museum. On the proposal of Councillor Craig, seconded by Councillor McCauley, it was agreed to approve the recommendations listed under 3.1 of the report presented to the committee, along with amendments made by the committee. Item 26, which was the interarrangement for receipt and delivery of biodegradable waste, on the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Craig, it was agreed to approve the recommendations listed under 3.0. And item 27, which was the review of gas and labouring process, it was agreed by councillors of the committee to proceed. Note. Thank you very much. That was the end of the meeting. I'll see you all again in May. The end of the meetings of this year.
Yeah.
I think I got it ahead. AGM in June.
Thank you.
So.